You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out of.
Come over here, kid. Wait, sir. You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of water. You fry some garlic.
It's
then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn, you bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouth for the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? What beautiful weather we've had this weekend, huh? How about it? And you know, nature is just so full of amazing surprises. Last week, I was sure we were heading into the last few days of tomatoes and the market this weekend. Oh my gosh, absolutely glorious tomatoes. I'm going to make a tomato pie tomorrow. There are still BLTs to be eaten this year. So if you don't go to the farmer's market, get to one. There's been great news, too, for people in West County. Sebastopol Farmer's Market has announced that it is finally going year-round in the same location. It's not moving there in the town plaza. It is now officially a year-round market. So congratulations to market manager Paula Downing and all of the vendors there for finally making this happen. It's great for the community. Tonight, I have to tell you, we have a Frenchman in the house, and that is always a great thing on Mouthful. We are going to talk in part about Buena Vista Winery, and Buena Vista is very special to me. When I first moved here, very young and no experience about wine at all, a student at Sonoma State living out in the beautiful wetlands of Lakeville, Buena Vista is where you could say I cut my teeth on wineries. If any of us at Sonoma State went wine tasting, we either went only to Buena Vista or we always started out at Buena Vista. And part of the reason, and I don't know this man's name, there was a man there, and that was when the tasting room was in the old cave. You walked past glass cases of traditional costumes from the 19th century, maybe from the 18th century, into this beautiful cave, and there was this guy there. Seemed pretty old to us at the time. I think he was probably in his 50s. But he was he would pour you wine for sure. But he was an entertainer, and we would end up staying for, oh gosh, an hour, 2 hours, and he got to recognize us, and he would really start hamming it up whenever we appeared. And that was at the time. I didn't like wine at the time. And I had a real revelation at Buena Vista when he poured me a Cabernet. Because for what I think at that time, there was a lot of thought, women, girls like white wine. And somebody would give me some awful thing with a lot of residual sugar, and I really hated it. And he poured me this beautiful Cabernet. It's like, oh, I like red wine. That's different. So anyway, Buena Vista has a very, very special spot in my heart. I used to take my little girls there to play, and we'd go for picnics there as well. And on that note, I would like to introduce two people. We have with us, for a very special appearance, we have the founder of Buena Vista Winery, Count Augustin Harasthy. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm really honored that you've chosen Mouthful to visit.
I am overjoyed to be on your show, and having returned to corporeal form and having learned of this amazing new device to radio. I am pleased to be here with, of course, Mansoor Jean-Charles Boisse.
And he is the new master of Buena Vista, correct?
This is correct, and he is my patron.
Welcome to Mouthful, Jean-Charles.
Bonsoir. It is a pleasure to be with you, and of course the Count.
So when did you found the winery? What was its first year?
1857 was when I came across the bay from San Francisco and founded Buena Vista Winery.
And what did you plant?
Well, I brought some of my vinifera grapevines, but most of the wine I made early on was from the Carrillo grape, from the Mission grape, as that was the most prevalent planting at the time.
Now, you originally are from Hungary.
This is correct.
What was it that brought you so far in such a long journey? It must have taken a very long time for you to get here.
It was a long trip from Budapest, and it required going all the way to London, and then all the way to New York City, and then to Wisconsin, and eventually to San Diego. It was a long, many years. I came to America because I am a member of the Hungarian nobility, and I am an ambitious man. And it was the commercial opportunities provided by America that brought me here and eventually to the finest wine valley on earth, the Sonoma Valley.
I could ask the same question of you, Jean-Charles. All these many decades, century and a half or so later, how did you end up in this same magnificent valley?
Well, Michelle, it was so wonderful hearing you enjoying Buena Vista. I was so fortunate. As early as 1981, I was a little over 11 years, I had the pleasure to cross the Golden Gate Bridge and discover the marvelous hills of Petaluma, Sebastopol, and that whole area, and land on the square of Sonoma. And that was with my grandparents in those days to actually discover the history of California and really dive into the incredible journey since 1846 and, of course, 1850, two critical dates in Sonoma of how California got independent and joined the Union. Mm-hmm. At that time, of course, being born in Burgundy, I had the pleasure to be born in wine and to make wine and already have made wine at 11.
Really? And now, where in Burgundy?
In the heart of it, in Vougeot, which is really the most historical place with the Clos Vougeot, which the monk actually developed in the 11th century. And my grandparents said, why don't we go and visit a winery? And we were obviously transported when we arrived at Buena Vista, which was really the first winery I've ever visited on American soil.
Oh, really? Oh, how interesting.
So it as it did to you, it created an unbelievable memory. Not that we tasted there, but my grandparents were so kind enough to buy the bottles of wine they've tasted and in their little hotel have her do the tasting again, even though we were 11 and my sister was 15. Mm-hmm. And this was that taste of Chardonnay of Sonoma Valley that I will never, ever forget. And coming back, therefore, 29 years later or 30 years later was really a marvelous surprise.
That's such a great story. Now, you now have several wineries. I know Deloche, Raymond,
Leith Estate, right, within an Alexander Valley focus. Mm-hmm. And, of course, now Buena Vista. Mm-hmm. And numerous wineries in Burgundy and the Beaujolais region, as well as the Côte du Rhône and the south of France.
I have such a soft spot in my heart for that entire region. Beaujolais is a really special place and a special wine to me. I love it. But the whole Burgundy area, my heart is there much of the time.
Well, we need to have you come soon.
Let's work that out.
This is the little cradle of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay,
exactly.
You know?
Yes.
This is where it all started. And as a matter of fact, the village I was raised on where the first Pinot planted, as well as the first Chardonnay, as the Alto wine for the mass, created by the monks, mm-hmm, in 1110.
Wow.
So hopefully one time we can have you there.
I would
show.
I would love that. Now, the reason that you're here right now. I've wanted to have you on the show for a variety of reasons for quite some time. The reason you're here now is that I got an email about your commitment to reviving, I don't know if reviving is exactly the right word, but really keeping alive the history of Buena Vista and making it known. And that made me so happy. So often the history of a place vanishes when someone new comes along, or just as time passes, people forget things. So, and, you know, I know that I've gone, there's a new tasting room. So much has happened at Buena Vista. And for a while, people didn't even know about that little back cave where the tasting room used to be. So talk about what you mean when you talk about the history.
Well, and having the Count with us today is obviously very emotional. And the Count represents the future of Buena Vista, which is really its past. So importantly, in today's time, we tend to erase history and want to create future history without taking into account the past. What we're thrilled about at Buena Vista is we have certainly one of the richest and most eloquent history with the Count and, of course, the 150 plus years which followed. So what we really want to try to revive is, or restore, I should say, is the whole dialogue and conversation as far as the California history, why people came to California, why did they want to plant vineyards in Sonoma, and what type of vineyards they wanted to buy and to plant, and how they did it, and obviously bring it to the future today as far as how we're doing things and for the purpose, of course, of quality. So the whole point of Buena Vista will be to create a place where we live, we sing, we dance, we listen to music, we have a fantastic time from an educational standpoint and as well quality standpoint. So we have a lot of ideas as far as how we want to restore the winery and both buildings, in fact, among that incredible nature which surrounds those two incredible old stone.
So the old stone caves, they're all still there.
They are still there. And, you know, the experience you've lived, I resonate so much with it because I've lived it as well. I got into that second building, which was the first gravity flow building in California, and it's mesmerizing and intimidating and at the same time transporting.
And the aromas in that building, you know, the stone and the way the stone holds the moisture. I just love it.
And you know, Michelle, what we're doing in a matter of days, we're counting 48 hours from now, we're going to actually re-ferment wine in this marvelous building.
Really? Oh, so that's exciting.
For many years, you could say that it could have smelled maybe like dust. Today and tomorrow, it will be smelling the beautiful
smells of fermentations
of fermentation.
Oh, wonderful. That's what I remember.
Exactly. So what we feel is, you know, America has a very rich history, and a lot of people tend to forget, even though that's a young nation, it's a very, very rich into all the events it had lived. So we should talk about it. We should not just talk about France or Italy or Spain or world nation, which have been around for many, many, many centuries. We should really focus on our past and educate the next generation about how diverse and rich the American culture is.
And while we're doing that, I think one of the things that enhances it is perhaps to taste its history as well.
Absolutely. Well, it's about time. I was afraid. Our mouth was watering, but winering, if we could say that in English. I'm not sure.
We can. And while you're opening that wine, let's turn back to the Count and ask how you're going to be helping with this, the restoration of history, of your history.
Well, since I have been brought back to corporeal form, we now offer a taste and tour of the winery on Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. And you can taste wine and with myself, the Count, as we walk around the grounds. I tell the story of my life, and it is a great deal of pleasure and also historically accurate and very involving.
And how often will that be happening?
It is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Okay, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Twice a day or once a day?
It is at 11 a.m. and 12:30 and 2 p.m.
No, here. That's a lovely sound.
This is so exciting. We're actually tasting.
Yes.
Santé.
I want you to talk about this Remarkable label.
Thank you. Well, maybe as the Count is here, we should let the Count describe this incredible presentation, obviously from the past. Count, how does it feel to see yourself on the label?
It gives me great pleasure, Monsieur Jean-Charles. Having returned to corporeal form and staring at my face is joyful. It's so much better to be alive than dead.
And you look so good.
It's much easier. My understanding, anyway, I don't know from experience, but my understanding is that it's actually much easier to drink when you're alive.
Well, I am not at liberty to divulge the mechanisms whereby I return to corporeal form, but I can say that it is joyful once again to breathe the perfumed air of the Sonoma Valley and to taste this delicious wine, which, by the way, this is the first time I have tasted this wine. So this is all very new experience. Before we go on, I do want to comment that in addition to the tours, for the next two Saturdays, October 15th and October 22nd, there are two free plays commissioned by Monsieur Jean-Charles, and three talented Sonoma actors perform a 25-minute play, The Count of Buena Vista. It is a free presentation, and it is a modified costume drama at 2 p.m. October 15th and 22nd. And then we shall begin the spring season with dates not announced. But if I was a lover of wine and history, this free presentation would be something that is perfect for children, by the way, as it's very quick. There are 22 costume changes in only 25 minutes.
Wow.
Two actors, a narrator that pushes the story forward. So something your listeners may be interested in.
It's right at the top of my list of things that you absolutely must do. It really should. It sounds absolutely wonderful. And I usually can never do anything on Saturdays because of prior commitments, but I might be able to get there on the 15th. I'm certainly going to try.
We would be honored.
So tell us about this wine. This is a red blend, Sonoma County Table Wine 2008.
That's right. So we're very, very thrilled to actually have come out with the Count. This is the Count of Buena Vista. This is the wine of the proprietor of Buena Vista. And this is really bringing back the essence and the flavor profile of a perfect Sonoma Valley wine. So this is an association of different varietals together. And the objective is to have a lot of depth, a lot of character, great personality in this wine, as well as a beautiful flavor profile with a lot of softness and
elegance.
It's
very approachable. No hard tannins. It actually reminds me of why I had that revelation back when I had my first red wine at Buena Vista. It's like, oh, yes. It's just a wine that makes me say yes.
What kind of revelation? Can you go much details in that revelation you've had?
Well, it was just that, you know, we didn't drink wine. I wasn't introduced to wine in my family when I was growing up. So I was never really a wine around it, except, you know, kids in college drank Strawberry Hill. And there was, you know, it had a very, you know, oh, it was kind of yucky, and Red Mountain or something in a jug. And I just thought, oh, I don't drink wine. And then I remember this guy standing there and pouring this red wine and tasting it. And it was just a very beautiful, somewhat soft Cabernet. Very approachable. And I remember buying a bottle. Mm. I bought my first bottle of wine at Buena Vista.
This is fantastic.
So, yeah, and I remember taking it home, and I had a very, very nice dinner, and I made everyone dress, and because I've always loved to cook. And it was from that moment on, I didn't always have wine on my table, but I began having wine on my table, and I had little girls at the time, and I always let them taste it. I always let them taste a little bit of watered wine from the time they were young. Led to some embarrassing moments.
Which I hope everybody would do. Because this is the way
you would
I've,
hope.
You know, I just had twin girls. And
congratulations.
After literally 7 minutes of living, they had some lovely Burgundian bubbles. Pinot Noir, mm-hmm. Rosé, number 69, JCB, on their palates.
Wonderful.
And they both started to open their eyes in a very dramatic way. And hopefully it was their first awakening towards wine, so even before milk.
Wow, that's really quite remarkable. I know I have a grandson, Lucas.
A grandson?
I have a grandson. And when he came home, so he was 2 days old. And I had dinner for my daughter and for mom and dad and Lucas. And I opened a very special bottle of Pinot Noir and before anything. And I just, I put it on his tongue and I whispered, Pinot Noir, and just put it on his tongue and he rolled it around. And every day for about the first 2 weeks, I would just put a little drop of Pinot Noir onto his tongue and I'd whisper the words. And
this is a fantastic story.
So we'll see. When he has a very, very good, he has a remarkable palate.
Was it Buena Vista Pinot Noir?
It was not. It was Gary Farrell.
We'll forgive you only this time.
Okay, and it was Gary Farrell when Gary Farrell was making it, not Gary Farrell. It was fairly old Gary Farrell that I had saved for a special occasion.
But what makes you look so young? Because all the
listeners, I was born pregnant,
cannot see you. But I'm starting to think about that. Were you born in the 19th century when you got pregnant at 11, 12 years old?
Well, perhaps I've been around a very long time, as the count here has. On that note, I think maybe we should take just a little musical break, and we'll be right back with more talk and more wine.
Thank you.
It's another lively hour here on Mouthful. I am thoroughly enjoying it, and I hope you are as well. My guest this evening, Jean-Charles Boisset of Buena Vista Winery and the founder of Buena Vista Winery, Count Augustin Herasthe, has managed to join us. We also have in the studio George Weber, a tour guide and an actor from Sonoma Valley. Welcome to the three of you.
Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup.
Now, you were talking off mic when we were listening to that fine Hungarian music. You were talking about wanting to do some tours, not the sort of tours where people come to the winery, but where you take the winery on the road with the Count.
Indeed, we want the Count to travel. We want the Count to tell his story, his life story, which is fascinating, and bring California to life and talk about the history of wine and talk about the history of Buena Vista. So what we'd like to do all across the United States, so in the major cities and fun cities, is do winemaker dinners as well, a presentation where people come, dress up 19th century clothes, of course, and listen to the Count and the presentation of his wine and food and wine pairing, as well as the history and the story of Buena Vista.
It's such a great idea. Let's leave Buena Vista just for a few minutes, though, and do a roundup of the other wineries that you have, because I know over in the Russian River Valley, you have a winery I know quite well, Deloge.
Yes, so Deloge follows the organic and biodynamic principle. So When we had the pleasure to bring Deloge, part of our collection of wineries, we turned the entire estate into biodynamic. Mm-hmm. So certified organic and biodynamic with an amazing gardens, great experiences, focusing exclusively on Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, and Zinfandel. And why Zinfandel? Because we believe Russian River produces phenomenal Zinfandels, cooler climate, not as maybe ripe or alcoholic, if you wish. So very soft and
very elegant. Soft and beautiful, I think. Absolutely agree with you.
Thank you.
And then also Raymond.
That's right. So Raymond Vineyards, five generations of incredible winemakers in Napa Valley, in Santa Elena, in Rutherford. So we brought Raymond part of our portfolio in 2009. And Raymond is very exciting because we just did the grand opening of what we call our Theater of Nature. Identically to Deloge, we converted Raymond as an organic winery and biodynamic farming. Mm-hmm. And we have a Theater of Nature, which is a 1.5-acre endeavor for families, children. You can as well bring your dogs, as you have a lovely, charming, irresistible dog. You could bring him on board. He'll have a place for himself, and he could as well discover goats, chickens, sheep, bees. We have
You have a bat hotel?
Bat hotels as well.
Okay, you are now
and how
my major hero.
Well, the Theater of Nature is 48 different signs explaining the five key acts of nature, from terroir to plants to insects to organic farming and biodynamic, and really comparing as well soil cultivated organically and non-organically, as well as vegetables. And you could taste in the Theater of Nature wine and herbs, as well as berries and so forth, and try to understand and associate the flavors of wine with what you find in the wines and in nature. So this is really the first ever time, I think, in California. There's such a great discovery about the ecosystem and the world around us and the wholeness of nature and the relationship between, you know, mankind and nature, as well as the planets around us, like the moon, the sun, and the earth.
What a wonderful thing. And then you have a fourth.
The fourth is Leith. Leith, which is, you know, more Alexander Valley focused. Mm-hmm. And there's no physical winery as such. They used to be a phenomenal one. And Leith focuses on Meritage, specifically for Bordeaux blend. Mm-hmm. So all the grapes come from Alexander Valley. Mm-hmm. So, which is beautiful, is now we have the Russian River. Of course, you have Leith in with a focus on Alexander Valley, Napa with Raymond, and very importantly, at the gate of the wine country in Carneros, you have the famous Buena Vista wine.
So where do you spend most of your time?
Well, between Burgundy, of course.
How much time in Burgundy?
Well, less this year because obviously the birth of our lovely twin
What are their names?
Honoré Joséphine and Grace Antoinette.
Oh, what beautiful names. Honoré Joséphine and Grace Antoinette. Lovely
Indeed,
names.
You say beautiful. You must be speaking French quite well.
I was in a very unusual school. in the North Bay. You would never expect it. From in fourth, fifth, and sixth grade, I was taught French.
Oh, wonderful.
And I fell absolutely in love with both the language and the country. And then I went on and I studied it in college and started a master's degree program in at San Francisco State. But it wasn't a great, I didn't like the program, and I ended up coming back to Sonoma State where they didn't have a master's degree in French. So I went into English but continued to study French as much as I could.
Well, with all the books you've written, you told me 20
Well,
books.
Almost 20, around 20.
Around
like
20.
That.
I'm sure a lot of your inspiration in literature as well was some of the French authors.
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. And I have always loved France. My daughter, I was very happy. My younger daughter spent time living in France and, you know, studied in Paris for her junior year in college.
Wonderful.
And goes back and she's, you know, she speaks the language very, very beautifully. So,
well, come and visit us. We look forward to it.
She was in Burgundy this summer, actually. She and her new husband, they rented, and some friends rented a house in Burgundy.
Aha.
And something that we would like to do together
as well. I hope she brought you some good wines back.
She didn't, but that's okay.
Well, maybe she did like the count. She brought back some cuttings.
She might have brought back some cuttings. That she may have done. She actually comes to Mama for wines. She lives in Mississippi. So we load her up with as many wines as we possibly can. Speaking of the count.
Sure. Who's kindly serving me again?
Yes, he's
preparatory blend.
Some additional wine. So you have two other wines. And you're also, you were talking about you're going back to earlier labeling.
That's right. So, you know, Buena Vista has an incredible history of not only wines and its diversity of the wines, but as well presentation. So we decided, how could we not go back to the historical labels of 1865, 1867, and so forth? So as you could see in front of you here, the old fonts of Buena Vista, quite powerful as well. And what used to be done in the past is Zinfandel was on top of the brand, which was very important, is what do you drink from whom, instead of who do you drink and what it is.
Right.
So we've obviously put our counts family nobility sign. We have emphasized on California First Premium Winery. And as you could see, Vinicultural Society, which is very important, the reintroduction of the Vinicultural Society. And I will let, of course, the Count himself tell us a little bit about what the Vinicultural Society is all about.
Thank you, Jean-Charles. I was, well, 1863 was a wonderful year for myself. On May 15th is when I incorporated the Buena Vista Viticultural Society, and this was the first modern corporation that was an agricultural enterprise. And I incorporated 6,000 shares at $100 apiece, of which I own 42% of the shares. Now, just 15 days later, on June 1st, 1863, was the day that my two sons, Arpad and Attila, married two of General Vallejo's daughters, Jovita and Natalia, and the Clicquot Champagne flowed like the river. And I formed a close relationship with the amazing Mariano Guadalupe Vallejo. And he was, of course, the first commercial winemaker in the Sonoma Valley as early as 1839. John Charles, you may not know that the general, of course, had won many awards for his Lacrima Montis brands, but in 1860, he neglected or declined to enter his wines into the California state competitions in deference to myself, and so I was able to win many awards in 1860, not wanting to muddy the waters, one might say. It was a great success, the Buena Vista Viticultural Society, to have it back on a bottle of wine is a wonderful thing.
And it's a beautiful thing as well.
It is. It does take me right back to those days.
Yes. And then tell us about the Chardonnay.
So the Chardonnay is the Carnet Rose. So Buena Vista, the one we are trying with the Count, mm-hmm. and the Zinfandel you have in front of you, and we'll have the Count tell us about his acquaintance with Zinfandel, which is very important, maybe in the history of Buena Vista. The other different levels is obviously where the winery is, which is mm-hmm. the phenomenal areas of Carnet Rose. Carnet Rose is very well known for Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, as well as, of course, Merlot.
Yeah. Yes.
And the Merlots are exquisite in Carnet Rose. So we've decided, as you could see here, to go back to the historical winery signature, Buena Vista, which was very well known in the exact same time of the mid-1860s. So we're very thrilled that deep green is actually, and this is why I'm wearing a deep green velvet jacket for you today, is the fact that that color was at that time very noble and very aristocratic in old Europe, and specifically Austria, Hungary, as well as a few neighboring countries. So the Count had chosen that color to dress his beautiful bottles of wine. And we're very excited, of course, to bring it back.
Yes, and I'm thrilled to see it, especially dark green velvet, something else I'm very fond of. Do you want to open another wine?
Of course, and okay. We should have the Count tell us a little bit about Zinfandel, and for sure him being the pioneers on this amazing varietal.
Well, thank you, Mansoor, Jean-Charles. He sent very nice dog.
He is.
Yes.
And he likes to participate in the conversation.
I came to California not just to make fine wine, but to build an industry. And as such, I created the California Agricultural Society in 1858 and was named the first president. I wrote a pamphlet, was asked to write a pamphlet, a report on wine, grapes and winemaking in California. And I did my best to disseminate the sound that I have learned to love and, having returned to corporeal form, am enjoying again. Well, in order to make great wine in California, we needed vinifera, the European grape varieties. And so in 1861, I convinced the California State Legislature to allow me to be named a commissioner and to travel to Europe and to bring back vinifera cuttings. After 7 months, I returned with 100,000 cuttings and 353 different varietals. Now, the legislature had promised to reimburse me for my expenses. Upon my return, the Great American Civil War had begun, and the legislature declined to reimburse me for my expenses. I am also known as the bringer of Zinfandel to America. I love this grape. I must confess that the papers proving this to be the case have been misplaced.
Oh, dear.
And so historians have been wrestling with this simple question for many years.
A very long time.
My son, Arpad, who was my most successful progeny, was very diligent in making the case that I am the bringer of Zinfandel to California. And it, since I have returned to corporeal form, I am doing my best to reconstruct my many volumes of correspondence, but it's proving difficult.
I can imagine. Do you recall where you got the first Zinfandel cuttings that you brought?
As early as 1851 in San Diego, I had vinifera cuttings. It is a complicated tale. I grew grapes in San Francisco and in Crystal Springs Reservoir. And all that time, I did have vinifera, as General Vallejo had vinifera as well. So whether it is impossible to say today where those vinifera cuttings came from. But we needed more, and we needed a greater variety. Let us say you're making a soup. and the soup is only out of carrots, it will be a poor soup. But if you were to take a soup, a vegetable soup, and use cabbage and carrots and parsley and turnips and onions and potatoes, you will have a truly superior soup. The same with grapes. And so my goal was to blend all the grapes together. This is the way wine was made when I was here in my previous incorporation.
I'm speechless. That's so interesting.
And we had, they call them field blends now. They call them field blends, but this is what we did.
My question was going to be, would that have been a field blend?
Yes, this is what we did. And
was it sort of based on intuition? You just knew intuitively. It's like when I would venture a guess that when your mama made the vegetable soup that you're talking about, because
makes you
I
hungry,
just suspect
does it not a vegetable soup.
She wasn't looking at a recipe. She knew how to make soup,
and
it was based on knowledge and physical.
Sounds
knowledge.
Like an Hungarian goulash.
Yes,
a good point, my patron. I will also comment that the red wine is actually the way that we labeled them. We did not put the varietal on the label. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. It was red wine, and you made it to taste good.
We often used the place names of Europe, and we offered a Rhine wine or a Mosel. Or
I
a
remember
Burgundy,
the hearty Burgundy
or a Bordeaux.
The hearty Burgundy, I don't think, had much to do taste wise with the wines of Burgundy.
Well, it was made by a very fine family, the Gallo family.
Yes, it was. And actually, there's some great stories about what went into that wine. I don't know if you've had the pleasure to meet Joe Rocchioli.
Yes, I have. Oh. I've had the pleasure, yes.
He's never agreed to come on the radio show. But he has such marvelous, marvelous stories. And one of them is of... You know, he planted Pinot Noir there at Rocchioli Vineyards, and he planted it because his Cabernet wasn't getting ripe. Thanksgiving, and his Cabernet is still not ripe. And the farm advisor at the time suggested Pinot Noir. And so for a time, that amazing Pinot Noir is going into just the random grapes that are making Gallo Hardy Burgundy.
Well, when you think about field blend as well, Michel and the Count, Châteauneuf-du-Pape is a fantastic region, as you probably know.
Yes.
Which was very famous from a religious standpoint as well, who created naturally between 7, 9 to sometimes 13 different varieties blended together, literally from the field and blended into the vat, like the Count described, the goulash. Yeah. And it's incredible. So sometimes, by not knowing exactly what is in the composition, can create something amazing. And this is really what we wanted to do with the Count field blend.
That's a great thing that you're doing. You know, America became very obsessed with varietal names. And I'm sure that we can trace back exactly why and when that happened. But it still persists, you know, in spite of the efforts with Meritage and a variety of other things. People still understand, I think Americans understand wine based on varietal names. And I am guilty of that myself, you know. I'll say I want a dry Sauvignon Blanc,
sure,
for example.
But aren't we all, Michel? And which is really as the Count started. He was one of the first one to bring premium grapes and varieties to America. When you think about it, let's put ourselves in context. We used as well to identify vineyards or wines through varieties in the older days of old Europe. You know, we just started here, so we need to have an education segmentation so that the consumer understand what he or she is drinking. But as all of us are continuing to be more educated and more talented in wine, now the need of writing the varietal on the label is not as important. Mm-hmm. So the beauty of it, as you know, the consumers are becoming more knowledgeable, it allows us to be more creative and certainly as well introduce them, all kinds of different wines we believe are great.
I have to say this, I really am enjoying this Zinfandel.
Well, and Zinfandel, specifically for me, Michelle, you described so well your history in wine and your association with Buena Vista. When we first got together with Deloach, it was a big discovery for me to taste the fantastic Zinfandel from the Russian River. Mm-hmm. Now, what we've tried to do here is a wine which is quite bold and has incredible berries characteristics. And as well, which I love and which is becoming a huge trend in Europe as well, is the taste of cinnamon. This is why Europe...
This is what I was looking for.
Oh, interesting.
Yes. And cinnamon is often put into Hungarian... cooking.
That's it.
Absolutely.
And that flavor profile,
that's interesting,
is becoming so loved by Europeans.
And it's absolutely, you know, when it comes to flavors and wine, we're all so suggestible. But when you say that, I put the wine in my mouth and then breathe in, and there's cinnamon.
That is correct.
Yeah. Very interesting. Well, before, you know, we've got about... we've only got about 7 or 8 minutes left on the show. And I'm going to see if you'll go somewhere, Count. You may not, but...
Lead on, good radio lady.
You took off from Sonoma Valley. You went to Nicaragua. We've always wondered exactly what happened to you there. Might you be able to tell us?
I will. This is the sad part of my story. There is no way around. This is a tragedy. In 1864, I stood at the height of my familial and professional success. Buena Vista vineyards were in extent over 400 acres. It was the largest vineyard on earth. Over 5,000 acres in my estate in all. My family was doing extraordinarily well, but as early as 1860, a few of my grapevines, the leaves had turned brown and had died. I replanted with other grapevines, and the ones on the hills appeared to do well, but the grapevines on the flat soil did not recover. I believed it was alkali water below the soil. By 1865, there was no way for me to deny the truth, which was that over half of my vineyards were dying from an unknown vine disease, and I had to inform my financial backers of this case. In particular, I was blamed. My European viticultural techniques were blamed for this unknown vine disease. Specifically, it was the planting of the grapevines closer together in a way to stress the vines, reducing yield, improving grape quality. And by 1867, I was removed as president of the Buena Vista Viticultural Society. And I was bankrupt. And all of my wealth was taken from me. And so, in 1868, I did what I had done before. I went someplace new. I had always been interested in Central America, and there were good shipping lines from San Francisco to Nicaragua. And I am also a distiller. And in Nicaragua, with the damp earth and the weather, they have sugar cane. And with sugar cane, you can make rum. And so I went to Nicaragua with my son Giza, and I had letters of introduction. I soon formed a partnership with a German-born physician and who had extensive land holdings, had married a Nicaraguan woman. And I had received an exclusive 20-year license to manufacture and export rum to California. This scheme would have worked, except on July 6th, 1860.
July 6th?
July 6th.
That's my birthday.
Hey, well, this is not a very pleasant story.
No.
Because on July 6th, 1869, while crossing an alligator-infested river, while examining the many acres of my new partner, while crossing this stream on a tree and used as a natural bridge, I grasped a tree branch on top of me. It broke in my hand. I fell into the river and was eaten by a 14-foot-long alligator.
I'm so sorry.
It was a very large alligator.
Yes.
And I struggled mightily. I was a vigorous man. That was the end of my life.
And I'm sorry about that, but I am glad that you have found new form. Now, what did your son go on to do? What Giza, did Giza do?
Giza returned, and he then eventually did return to Nicaragua, and he had been a military man. On our way across the United States in a more pleasant story in 1849, when I went from Wisconsin to San Diego, we came across a cavalry of United States Dragoons, and the uniforms and the excitement of the cavalry so interested Giza that on the spot he enlisted and then served in the American Civil War.
Oh.
He was a military man.
And in the Civil War.
Indeed. A much more pleasant story. But I will say that since I have returned to corporeal form, I have learned of Phylloxera vasatrix. I went to my death in 1869 not knowing the cause of the destruction of my happiness. It wasn't until 1870 when this Vine disease was understood.
Oh.
And so to see Phylloxera. Once again the green vines upon the hillside, the American bug chamed by American rootstock, an elegant and just solution. And to see Buena Vista wine even more delicious than the best wine I ever made. It is a joy almost beyond belief.
And Jean-Charles, I have to thank you for giving an opportunity to the Count to express himself so beautifully. I would like to know, we also have a third guest, other than Joey, who has been so quiet. And I would like to see if George Weber might be available to talk a little bit.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. Hey, I'm happy to be here. You had a great radio show.
You also have a radio show
over
in Sonoma Valley.
I have a radio show on
KSDY,
Radio Theater of the Wild West. In fact, I precede your show. I'm on Sunday, 6 p.m.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so Radio Theater of the Wild West, it's a lot of fun, old-fashioned Western radio show. It sounds like this. Hey there, little buck grooves and buffalo gals, this here's Wild West Willie. Yeehaw! Song done along that big old wooden radio, kids. Listen, some true tales of Western adventure.
There you go, George Weber. And George, thank you very much for making the Count possible. For making his visit here possible. And we look forward to hearing more from you.
Thank you very much. I know you're a volunteer, and I praise you. 16 years of volunteer radio. It's a wonderful thing. Our children have been their brains have been damaged by staring at the screen. We want children to listen to the radio.
Yes, and I do. I bring children in sometimes to talk on the radio.
Where the pictures appear in your
mind.
Head.
Yes, thank you.
Congratulations.
So, Jean-Charles, let's recap. There will be tours by the Count at Buena Vista Winery Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays throughout fall.
Indeed.
We have 2 days of free plays coming up on October 15th and October 22nd at 2 o'clock.
Thank you.
Good
so
for
much.
Children.
And we'll see you on the 15th.
I hope so. 23 costume changes in 25 minutes, I understand. You can look for Buena Vista Wines. Really, they're pretty widely distributed, right?
Indeed, yes.
Yes.
And we will try to improve.
Yes.
For the pleasure of your palate.
And thank you so much. Thank you not just for driving all the way over here. I know that it was a lot to ask for you to come over here during harvest.
And now that we've met, we will come every week if you want us.
Excellent. I may hold you to that sometime. Congratulations on your twin girls.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you're doing. You know, keeping history alive or bringing it back when it's gone underground for a while. That's so important. I really thank you very much for doing that to a place that's so special to me, Buena Vista
Winery.
Thank
you, and I will toast to you as well. And we both, the Count and I,
and
George Weber, who is with us as well, for your discovery of Buena Vista, because we have so much in common.
Yes. And thanks to you for tuning in for this extra special episode of Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. I also have to say, a sad farewell. Mouthful's engineer, he's only been with us since April, but Eric Black, who has done a fabulous job from his first day, is moving on. He's going back up to Humboldt County.
Yep. My favorite place.
Yeah, I know you love it. I know it's a good move for you. It's not a good move for Mouthful. You've really done a great job here, and we've really loved having you a part of it.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And I know that, you know, we'll still have your energy because every now and then you'll think back to when you were with Mouthful. So thank you, Eric, and lots of good luck. Whoever gets you next, they will be lucky.
All right. Well, thanks for allowing me to be a part of the show. It was fun.
You bet. I'm glad you had a good time. So meet me back here next week. We are going to visit another historic winery. Simi Winery is celebrating, I think, its 135th year this year. And so we'll be talking with folks from Simi next week on the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, Mouthful. I'm Michelle Anna Jordan. Have a great week. And don't forget to visit your farmer's market.
Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord that praises me.
And local support for Mouthful also came from Clar's Auction Gallery, featuring fine art, antiques, jewelry, and Asian items at their monthly estate auctions. Learn more at Clar's.com. That's Clars.com. Or at 510-428-0100. From our house to your house, Clar's Auction Gallery.
It's time for dinner now, let's go.
Let it be.
It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat.
We got some beans.